Okay, let me officially welcome everyone to Momentum Mastery Monthly. Today's call is The Path of Simplicity and relates to lesson number 12 in The Power of Inner Choice. And I'm really excited about today's call. And those of you that are here listening live and those of you that may be listening to this as an MP3 or as a CD, welcome, welcome. If you have ever felt overwhelmed with all the personal and spiritual growth information out there, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time. One simple point of focus is all you need for spiritual purification. We might even say spiritual purification and inner peace. On tonight's call, we'll be exploring how just one spiritual principle applied to every area of your life can radically impact your inner peace. We're going to explore how to select and apply the one spiritual principle for you. And we're also going to review key learning points from the previous lessons that we've covered in Momentum Mastery Monthly. We're going to include the easiest and fastest way to become more present, the four elements to realizing your goals, three keys to consistent inspiration, how to transform less resourceful states of being fast, five keys for expanding your ability to receive, and 10 paths to accessing inner peace. So we'll see how much we get on the review on the second half of our call here. We may be opening up the lines to our live listening audience and have them participate as sort of a quiz as we refresh your memory. Of course, all of this is found in greater detail in my book, The Power of Inner Choice, but sometimes it's nice when we hear an idea or principle or a concept. Sometimes it really takes hearing it and hearing it again and applying it and then hearing it again until we can ultimately really integrate it. So as one of my mentors says, we can only learn what we already know. Really profound statement. And when you start thinking about it, you know, when we hear stuff for the first time, that's usually not when we're learning it. Where we learn it is something that has been with us for a while that we've had a chance to really dig into and work with. So let's get right into it. This whole idea about that we can select just one spiritual principle and apply it to every area of our life to create a radical impact in our inner peace. That sounds kind of good. And this is taken from my book. A spiritual principle is taught universally and recognized as truth, independent of religion, education, or culture. Any of these that resonate with you will create potent results and transformation when applied consistently, without exception, to every area of your life. You need to apply the principle equally toward yourself as toward others. For instance, simply forgiving others consistently doesn't qualify. No, no, no. You must consistently and generously forgive yourself too. So we're going to talk about 10 key principles, and as I go through these, I'd like you to try each one on as how you're living it. And let me say this. So many spiritual principles complement others. Where there is forgiveness, there is love. Where there is surrender, there is trust. Where there is joy, there is love. Where there is love, there is integrity. Where there is honesty, there is trust. Where there is serenity, one is in the present moment. Where there is hope, there is compassion. Where there is acceptance, there is peace and freedom. So we can see that each of these spiritual principles, we kind of have an idea of a spiritual principle, something that is taught universally and recognized as truth, independent of any religion, education, or culture. So we've got that down. And when we focus on one quality that most resonates with you, it's enough to produce radical transformation. And so as I go through each of these 10 qualities, well, the question is, well, how do you really select which one? I mean, in an ideal world, aren't we living all of these principles all of the time? It's like, well, yeah, in the ideal world, and what's more helpful is for us to have the singular focus. So I'd really love to invite you with your own intuition, you know, really to sit with each one, try each one on, experience it, imagine how you may apply that given principle in all areas of your life and towards yourself. Remember, that's one of the keys as well. It's not just about applying it to others and the world. It's also about turning it towards yourself, which sometimes is the last place we focus. So if you were to pick one, we might say that one could be love, because love is present everywhere. It's available. Most of us have more access to this one more than some of the other principles. And if you think about it, love really brings forth the willingness to surrender, to forgive, and a desire to understand. And as we give love, we also receive love in return. So that may be, you know, if there's one recommendation, love is probably the one. But let's really step into each one of these. And if you have a copy of my book, The Power of Inner Choice, this is coming out of lesson number 12, The Path of Simplicity. And this whole chapter actually was inspired from something I read in one of Dr. David Hawkins' books from Eye of the Eye. And when I heard about this, it was somewhere tucked away in one of the chapters, and it hit me as so profound that I had to write an entire chapter about living this idea or principle. So this isn't something I'm just making up out of the blue. This is something that a very well-respected, regarded teacher, author of, I don't know how many books now, 7, 8, on spirituality, on consciousness, on awakening. This is really a principle that sprouted from one of his books. So let's take the first one. And as I'm going through, of course, the assignment here is to pick one of these 10 as something that you're going to choose to take on over the coming week, maybe even over the next 21 days, since that's the time it takes to build a habit. So sit with each one. Those that are here listening on the live line, when we get to the end of this, what I'd love to do is just do a little bit of open sharing about which one you want to choose, and then also to begin to look at, you know, how can you apply this principle to yourself. So that's going to be one of the keys. Make a few notes about how you can apply the principle to yourself, how you can apply it to others, how you can apply it to the world at large, and then even getting a little bit more specific to break down, you know, how can you apply it to your career or business or your physical environment or just, you know, the rest of your life in the areas of fun, growth, purpose, creativity. Right, so we want to really make sure that we're setting up a way to apply this across the board in your life. And, well, and I'll share some stories at the end, but it's been one of the exercises that just always blows me away when people really step in and apply this. You know, it sounds so simplistic, but of course, the name of this call is The Path of Simplicity. Really just picking one principle and really applying it across the board in every area of your life, including to yourself, can bring about radical transformation. So let's do a little quick review. So one is love. And just to kind of step into the experience of love, a deep, tender, ineffable feeling of affection and solicitude toward a person, such that as arising from kinship, recognition of attractive qualities, or a sense of underlying oneness. Love is forgiving, kind, compassionate, caring, and understanding. Love is gracious and present. Within the presence of love, there is a sense of peace, warmth, and connectedness. In love, all is well. So we can think, this may be a fun one to think about applying in your life, you know, loving yourself, you know, your strengths, your weaknesses, your quirks. When you're in moments of stress or confusion, doubt, fear, even in your power, you know, think about loving your family, your friends, clients, even your enemies, strangers, people at the grocery store counter, and of course, significant others. You can think about loving your work, loving the creative process, loving reality. Loving your stressful thoughts and loving the thoughts of peace. You can love the traffic, the weather, lines at the grocery store, positive and negative emotions. Love yourself when life is going well. Love it when it's feeling stuck. We can love our spirit, our ego, and even loving yourself when you're working out or watching TV, right? So many opportunities to love yourself. And even in this moment, just to turn for a moment, allowing yourself to love you as you're listening to this. So that's love, a good, juicy spiritual principle. And if all you did is took that and applied that full-heartedly with a big commitment, then being on this call for a few minutes, you know, should be worth an entire year's subscription to Momentum Mastery. But of course, there are more. So let's explore some of the other ones because they're each equally powerful. Again, and I'm going to say it a few times so it just really sinks in deep, really applying it everywhere in your life. So both within and without, towards yourself, towards others, and the world. Second key one is surrender. And surrender is about relinquishing control, primarily of ego and fear, and surrendering to another. We might say surrendering to spirit, surrendering to love. Surrender means giving up something in favor of a higher energy or a higher spiritual principle. Ego, of course, resists surrendering. Spirit thrives in surrender, as it clearly understands that we're all connected, and surrendering allows the separation to disappear and the connection to return. Surrender is about recognizing the uselessness of clinging to fears, stressful thoughts, and ego's control, otherwise known as resistance, right? So surrender is the opposite, really, of resistance. With surrender, there is trust, peace, love, and compassion. So really, just stepping into surrender for a minute, what life may be like for you if you really embodied this principle. So surrendering to the reality of the moment, accepting what is, surrendering to your own spirit's guidance, your desires, your own inspired actions, maybe surrendering to the reality of the world, trusting that it's working in divine order, surrendering to love, to trust, to forgiveness, to peace and compassion, surrendering to your mistakes and errors in judgment, surrendering to listening and being present. even surrendering to your anxiety, frustration, anger, and fear, so you can take responsibility, right? So in that surrender, we can see sort of a dropping of the resistance. Really, that's the biggest way to embody surrender. It's in dropping of the resistance, we can continually come back and surrender to higher choices, right? Surrender is a choice. So that's surrender, another juicy spiritual principle. Let's look at the next one is trust. Trust. And trust is a firm reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of a person, thing, or the future, as in trusting spirit, yourself, or another. With trust, there's an acceptance of the moment, letting go, detaching from the outcome, anticipating the best, and surrendering to the process. It's a sort of cousin to surrender, but there's sort of a different quality to trust. Trust does not rest on logical proof or material evidence. It's knowing that you'll be taken care of somehow, and whatever happens is for the greater good. Deepening your sense of trust creates space and freedom for magic to happen. Trust is most powerful to access when circumstances look bleak or uncertain, and it becomes clear you can't control the outcome anyway. And of course, in reality, we never really control an outcome. Therefore, trusting is a fine alternative, right? Because again, as we think about stepping into trust, we notice there's a drop of resistance. I think maybe something that each one of these spiritual principles will have in common is a lack of resistance, that there's an embracing of each moment that's unfolding. So how might we apply trust? We might trust that your relationships continue to grow, that your health or injuries improve quickly, that your career becomes wildly abundant, trusting that the unexpected miracle is on its way, right? So there's a trusting solutions becoming clear. Trust money will come and your needs will be provided for. Trusting in your decisions, trusting in your friends. And so let's look at this for a minute, just because I can sort of, I have ESP, I can read. It's like, oh, well, if I am trusting money's coming, it's like, can't that be irresponsible? Well, so if we're only trusting that money is coming and we're not trusting our guidance about the actions to take and trusting about our own ability to discern the best way to spend our time, or trusting who to be in relationship with and what jobs to take on and which ones to not take on, again, we need to really apply this trust across the board. So it doesn't really count if we just say, okay, well, I'm just going to trust the money is coming. Okay, that's one piece of it. But again, we need, when we're picking a principle, we really want to be prepared to apply it everywhere across the board. You know, we need to trust in relationships and trusting in ourselves and trusting in the goodness of the world. So something to keep in mind on that one, with trust. So let's talk about the next one, number four, joy. One of my favorite, joy. In fact, I love joy so much. My license plate is XTRMJOY, which stands for extreme joy. So I love joy. Joy is an intense and especially ecstatic or exultant happiness. It's the expression or manifestation of such feeling. Joy is about celebrating the moment and whatever is here now. Joy is light, expansive, and contagious. is joy spiritual? When you see the joy of a child or a radiant face, how does it affect you? Joy reminds us of the truth that life is wonderful. There is gratitude, aliveness, and freedom and joy. And yes, joy is very, very spiritual. On the scale of consciousness, also from David Hawkins' book, Power versus Force, actually joy calibrates very, very high, actually just right under peace in the 500. So joy is definitely very spiritual. And if you think about it, when we're in those immense moments of joy, do you start to notice how other things begin flowing in your life? Or when we're not doing a lot of joy, when we're caught up in drama or a lot of resistance, you might notice how life gets harder, right? When we're spending a lot more time in joy, we have a new furry puppy that is now actually 17 weeks as of Sunday, and he brings a lot of joy. And John and I have been laughing because it's like he's a lucky charm. Ever since Cruiser showed up in our lives, all kinds of amazing and extraordinary things have shown up. I think partly because our joy has been so alive in this little being that is just walking unconditional love and cuteness, that we've been in a higher energy vibration. When we're in a higher energy vibration, we naturally attract more goodness into our life. So one of the things we talked about early on in Momentum Mastery is about daily rituals and habits to really raise your energy vibration. Why? Because we want that joy. We want to be in that energy vibration because that's really where magic of life unfolds in a much easier way. So if you were to want to take joy on, don't be thinking that selfish. Think of it as spiritual and maybe just super duper fun. But you can bring joy to yourself, bring joy to others, really focusing on joyful thoughts, sharing joyful words, anticipating more joy, laughing and smiling, doing things that bring you joy, finding joy in your business, finding joy in making money, finding joy in your creative endeavors. Really, everything that comes along, just even think of either the fascination of a young child or a puppy, that'll work. You can find joy in looking at an ant. If you've got the mindset of I'm bringing joy to everything, finding joy in stillness. Yeah. So joy is another phenomenal spiritual principle. Let's look at the next one, which is kindness. Another fabulous spiritual principle. Kindness is of a friendly, generous, or warm-hearted nature. Kindness is understanding, charitable, humane, considerate, tolerant, generous, and beneficial. Kindness reflects a tender, loving, and helping nature. So really just allow yourself to drop into the energy of kindness, imagining what it would be like to really take this spiritual principle on in your life. How it would be to be kind to others, really being especially kind to yourself by being responsive, considerate, loving, forgiving, resting in awareness, being kind to yourself when you're working, respectful of your energy, encouraging yourself with kind words, being kind to your body, giving it water and healthy nutrition and exercise, stretching, relaxation, sleep. being kind to your future by planning financially, saving and maximizing your income. You can be kind to the world by appreciating its gifts, its diversity, nature, beauty, even the challenges. Be kind to the world by keeping it clean and not contributing to its pollution. Maybe being kind to others in need, anticipating opportunities to contribute. Maybe offering a listening ear, willingness to help, offering a smile to a stranger, and even just keeping your energy high as being a focus of kindness. So that's kindness. We've got the sixth spiritual principle. Again, we're trying each one on, and ultimately we want to invite you to select one of these that you're going to apply everywhere in your life, towards yourself, towards others, toward the world, in as many contexts as possible. So the sixth principle is gratitude, and another just juicy principle. And gratitude is, of course, a feeling of thankfulness and appreciation. Appreciation and gratitude are interchangeable. In gratitude, there is acceptance, love, and acknowledgement of what is. In gratitude, there is spaciousness and connectedness. And we also notice in gratitude, there is no resistance either. You have no resistance. And of course, there's so much we can appreciate, from the moment to appreciating your strengths and weaknesses, who you are, appreciating your unique being with your personality, your soul. You can appreciate your work, income, clients, your employer, your employees, health, your body, appreciating the acts of kindness and contributions you offer others and that others offer to you. You can appreciate your environment, your neighborhood, your neighbors, your city, state, country. All right, it really goes endlessly. We can appreciate all the diversity in the world, all the unique roles that people play as entertainers and artists and business owners, doctors, lawyers, dentists, massage therapists, photographers, even garbage collectors. And we can appreciate different qualities like joy, love, peace, kindness. We can even appreciate our stressful thoughts. Right? So, again, we're not just only looking at the positive, but we're showing appreciation for the light and the dark. We're going to have thoughts that pop up. Why not appreciate them? Thank you for coming. Thank you. Because if we think about it without pushing against those thoughts that bubble up into your mind, that happens to all of us from time to time, especially when things are a little bit more crazy than normal, if we can just stand in a place of appreciation for those thoughts, we might see that they transform. We might see that almost anything we appreciate, even the thing that we most resist, ultimately leads us back to a place of peace. Very powerful. Number seven, key principle. We'll hit these last few. Abundance. And this is a fun one. I've had lots of people take this one on also. Abundance is fullness to overflowing. It's ample sufficiency, plenty, a copious supply and wealth. With abundance, there's no need for attachment. Of course, attachment is another form of resistance, because with abundance, there's always more coming. The universe is unlimited. With abundance, gratitude and generosity follow. With abundance, there's a sense of worth and deservedness as you are open to receiving. With abundance is the spaciousness to create your heart's desire. So what a fun one, abundance, right? So try this one on, the abundance of love for yourself and others. Oh, yeah, abundance of friends, abundance of money. Like really having this attitude of abundance around time, energy, creativity, joy, peace, fun, an abundance of breakthroughs, wisdom, ideas, insights, abundance of opportunities, resources, solutions, paths to success and accomplishments, abundance of beauty, diversity, connection, and choices. So really just seeing, and again, this may seem like, what? Abundance is a spiritual principle. It absolutely is. And when we live from this place of abundance, you know, things flow. And again, we need to see the abundance everywhere. Abundance for yourself, abundance for others. Another one to really try on and feel. You know, you may even notice as you're trying each one on which ones are easier to try on and which ones you may have a little resistance to. So let's look at number 8 is forgiveness, another phenomenal spiritual principle. Forgiveness is about to excuse for a fault or an offense, to pardon, to renounce anger or resentment against another, right? Again, that's resistance. If we have resentment or anger, there's some kind of resistance towards something in the past, something about them. With forgiveness, there is a return to wholeness as resentment, anger, or judgment is released. Forgiveness is about recognizing truth. Forgiveness is about understanding that we're all doing the best we can with the resources we have. And when we step into forgiveness, it allows us to take responsibility for our actions and our reactions. Right? If there's nothing that we're pushing against out there, then our energy is free to just, again, to respond to the present moment, to love, to create, to respond. So we can look at the application, how we can forgive our parents for how they raised us in some cases, maybe forgiving our children for how they're finding their own path, forgiving yourself for thinking you need to be perfect, maybe forgiving yourself for not making a realization until you do. Forgiving yourself for being attached to stressful thoughts, even when you know they're not true. So there's so much we can forgive ourselves if we just, again, step into the mantra of, you know, what if I just, you know, forgive myself? Oh, I didn't make a decision right there. Okay, great. Now it's, we've just cleared resistance again. We're back at a set point. And we just bring that again and again. So forgiveness, another big one. And so much, I mean, forgiving old patterns, current patterns, our ignorance, our shortcomings, other people's transgressions and inconsideration, other people's unconsciousness. Plenty to forgive the world about right now, right? So you can see, it's kind of interesting, just as I'm sitting here kind of trying this on myself, it's like really noticing that in forgiveness, you really start recognizing even where those little unconscious little resentments or resistance lies. Because with forgiveness, there really is, again, a recognition that all is well, all is fine, back to a place of wholeness. So two more. Number 9 is compassion. And compassion is the humane quality of understanding the suffering of others and wanting to relieve it, although knowing that isn't always possible. Compassion is about acceptance and connection as one recognizes the reality of another state or circumstances and can feel what that other may be experiencing. With compassion, love is present. And again, with compassion, there is no resistance. So again, we can have compassion towards ourselves when we get caught in stressful thoughts or a negative emotional state or a bad habit. We can have compassion for the world and its struggles and challenges, compassion for others' idiosyncrasies and, you know, for people not showing up exactly as we wish they would, compassion for them not living into the fantasy of who we want them to be. Right? So we can apply compassion in lots and lots of areas. And then finally, 10 is honesty. And honesty is characterized by truth and is not false, deceptive, or fraudulent. Honesty is genuine, authentic, equitable, and fair. Honesty is sincere and frank. Honesty is about integrity, the quality or condition of being whole or undivided. You'll notice something that each of these qualities have. There's a sense of wholeness that is there and available when that spiritual principle is alive. It is completeness. Honesty is loving, kind, generous, and is appreciated by everyone. When we're honest, there is a surrendering to the truth. And we might say the truth is synonymous with reality, with the highest reality. So, of course, lots of places we can apply honesty, you know, towards ourselves, being honest about your strengths, your humanity, your foibles. Can be honest about your desires and dreams, your fears, even being honest about lack of follow-through, right? We can be honest as we listen to Spirit's guidance. We can be honest about our incongruent thoughts, actions, emotions, behaviors, and habits. You can be honest about your feelings towards yourself and others. So, and with honesty, there's also a real, you know, I guess it just keeps coming back to, you know, an embracing of reality, an embracing of what is true. And as we notice with each one of these spiritual principles, as you dive into each one, when you really apply it fully, things begin to transform. So I've been talking for quite a while here. What I'd love to do, I'll just say them all one more time, and I'll open up the lines here. And so here, I'll just read the list. Love, surrender, trust, joy, kindness, gratitude, abundance, forgiveness, compassion, and honesty. So let me just check in with our live listening audience, so those that may be up for sharing, which one would you like to really take on and apply in your own life?
Hi, Mary. This is Cindy.
Hey, Cindy. Thanks for jumping in.
Oh, you're very welcome. I am going to apply the trust in my life, trusting my decisions and trusting in my talents and trusting in the people around me.
Beautiful. Love it. Love it. Love it. Can't wait to hear more about that. And is there any place that, maybe just do a litmus test, is there any place that trusting where you can't feel into that would make a difference?
a place that I currently don't feel into?
Well, just as you're stepping into the thought of applying trust in all areas, is there any area that you see that trust wouldn't have a positive impact ultimately?
Oh.
Especially if you're trusting across the board.
I don't think so. I think it would all have a positive impact.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody can ever trust too much.
Right. Yeah. Good. Just thought I'd check that out.
It's just trusting in the laws of the universe and trusting that everything does come together for the good,
mm-hmm.
and that there is positive in everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just trusting that everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm. It's gotten us this far so far.
And also, I mean, to trust that that I am where I am today is exactly where I'm supposed to be at in my life.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's one I often come back to in times when it seems that the world has thrown me a curveball and either something wasn't happening as quickly as I wanted it to or I got diverted somewhere. I really do default back to that place of trust, and it really feels empowering and useful, and I usually then get revealed the truth of, oh, well, this is why you got delayed on this project, because we now want you to turn left up here at the corner, and we didn't want you taking that action here.
Right.
So, very good. Who else would be willing to chime in about which of these spiritual principles you'd like to commit to taking on? And I see we have Stephanie on the line. Would you be willing to jump in and pick one?
Hi, Mary. I'm leaning towards either trust or abundance, I think. And for me, actually, both kind of they're very similar in the sense of just getting to that place of knowing that my life is unfolding as it's supposed to be. I'm leaning more towards trust in really practicing trusting myself, trusting that the decisions that I'm making as I'm going forward are the decisions that are unfolding as per the universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like that's really the it for you. And, of course, they go hand in hand as all of them interlink. You know, part of the big trust is that the world is abundant and there's lots of abundance coming your way and you're trusting those resources coming and the direction and the clarity. Like, I see them definitely so hand in hand. And that's sort of the, certainly, as you'll see, the experience is that one leads to another. I mean, it's almost impossible once you really play in full-heartedly that some of the other principles, you know, it's like they're so interchangeable. And I remember when I really took this on after reading the segment that I shared with you in Eye of the Eye, with David Hawkins' book, I really decided to take on loving myself unconditionally. And, you know, out of that loving myself unconditionally, it's like, okay, I'm practicing loving myself during yoga and driving the car and coaching and working on the computer. And then I would notice, like, an old resentful thought would arise. And, you know, I just felt a natural surrendering and forgiving myself for, you know, for having the resentment there. So it's sort of like one sort of bleeds into the other. So have fun with it. We've got at least a couple people taking on trust, but really trusting the process that just by giving a single focus, it really can bring about radical transformation. So let me just check in if there's anyone else that would like to chime in, don't want to put anyone on the spot. Of course, except Stephanie. Sorry about that.
No, fine.
I know, I can always put you on the spot. Well, let's move into this. So I'll just kind of wrap up this section really by, again, you know, making the commitment and kind of listing out really how you'll apply it to yourself, so you've got lots of context and references for how you really want to apply this one principle. And, of course, the seduction may be to move on to something else. You know, there's so many books and teleclasses and programs that are out there that can very easily seduce us into thinking that this is the next greatest thing, that we need to do this chant or meditate in this way, or we need to apply these three principles and so forth. And I really want to invite each of you to really, no kidding, take one of these and really give it concentrated focus and attention for 21 days. And you may even journal about this, you may make some notes, but allow this to be the backdrop in your awareness and really allow the juice of this exercise to come to you. Because I promise, it's really, really good. And if ever there's a time when you're feeling like, oh, you know, it's not working, it's like really to look. It's like, well, what's the one area that I'm neglecting? Where am I not taking this principle and surrendering fully, or loving fully, or forgiving fully, or experiencing joy fully? As this is, I guess, month 12 in Momentum Mastery Monthly, and so far over the last 12 months, we've had two calls each month, one focusing on success, one focusing on inner peace. And one of each of those two lessons has been correlated with one of the 12 lessons from my book, The Power of Inner Choice. And in lesson number 12 in The Power of Inner Choice, one of the key things that is included in this chapter is a little review. So we're going to do a little speed review. We're not going to cover every single thing in the book, or we would be on a very, very long call. But I do want to hit on a few key elements, and those that are here on the live listening line, you can kind of chime in with some of your answers. But we're going to just, you know, give a little bit of a review on some of the key principles. So let me put out the first question, which is, what is the easiest and fastest way to become more present?
Be aware of your surroundings.
Yes. And in being aware of your surroundings, that's really close. There's a specific practice that I give in the book that helps you become really more aware of your surroundings.
The practice being in the now.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So now practices is the answer. And as a quick review, a now practice is basically just taking something that you're doing in your life every day anyway and consciously practicing being more present during that activity. So generally something real easy that you really don't need to consciously think to do, like showering or eating or exercising, walking your dog, a lot of things we do every day and we can go on autopilot, but what we want to do is flex that muscle of really, really, really being present, engaging the senses, stepping into gratitude. So now practices is really one of the fastest ways to become more present. And my clients, students that take this on really notice a radical transformation in their ability to be present. And it just comes by picking, I only recommend taking two practices and just really, really working them, because it's just like this path of simplicity idea. It's when you take something and you really give it your full attention and focus, it sort of has a way of spilling over into the other areas of your life. Great. So let's talk. So who would guess about what are the four elements to realizing your goals? That's something here at Momentum, creating and sustaining success and inner peace. Of course, success often relates to our goals. So what are four elements to realizing your goals? Okay, I'll start with one. One of them is clarity. Really knowing what's your outcome. Hard to realize our goals if we're not really, really crystal clear about what we're moving towards.
And is one of them action?
Yes, one of them is definitely actions. It's the doing, right? It doesn't just having a clear vision, isn't it? We definitely want the doing side. What actions will you take? Good.
Either meditation or taking time for yourself. Is that one of them or is that not?
You know what? Actually, it's close. Actually, I would call it beingness. And actually, self-care, taking time for yourself, allows for those being states to really come into alignment. If we're only taking action, 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 and there is no space for ourselves, we often squeeze the beingness out of us. And usually, then there's a place of disconnection from our goals, from our own guidance. And this is where people may be very successful, but yet something's off because they're really not on their purpose. They just picked a path and off they ran. So with being, we may say it's related to self-care, but I would even take it even a more step related to goals, and that is, what are the feeling states that you must engage? We want our beingness to align with our intended goal. If we really want to create a sense of abundance in our world, we really better be good at the feeling states of worthy and deservingness and feeling a sense of abundance and excess. And so often what is getting conditioned, especially, you know, these times with the economy as it is, we're conditioning scarcity and not enough, and our nervous system isn't even clear on what it would be like to have excess. So by working, we've got a whole call that we did on emotional muscles that was somewhere in the first part of our year, really looking at the feeling states or the emotional muscles that you must engage that will help you align with your goals. So this is a great opportunity to take a review of your top three goals and really look, am I clear about maybe one emotional muscle for each one of these goals that I need to just consciously spend maybe a minute or two each day to come into alignment with? And the fourth element in realizing your goals is actually your why. And your why being, you know, I like to refer to the why as your sustainable inspiration. It's like, what purpose does your vision serve? Why is this goal important to you? You know, if we're not emotionally connected to why something is really important, we often don't have the energy to sustain the actions to realize that goal. So we want to be really clear about the why and be connected to that purpose. You know, so often we see with new fathers that, you know, their wives get pregnant, and all of a sudden, somewhere over those 9 months, the husband's income ends up generally going up, and the baby comes, and then their businesses really start flourishing. Why? Because they've got a bigger why. They've got to provide for a family and maybe even a stay-at-home mom, wife. And their why just got bigger. It's more emotional for them. And, you know, when, you know, two partners are working, you know, less of a drive. So look at what your why is. That's a big one. So here's another fun review question. What are three keys to consistent inspiration? Three keys to consistent inspiration. And I'll give you a hint. They relate to the first three lessons in The Power of Inner Choice. Anyone want to guess?
Hey, it's being in the now.
No. Yep. Actually, being in the now, because that is lesson number one, being present in the moment. Because if you think about where our point of inspiration is, our point of inspiration is in the now. If we're caught up in the future or the past, the only way we can get there is with a thought. And that means there's at least some disconnection because we're occupied, a part of us is occupied with the thought and the future or the past. But if we're just really squarely here in the present, this is where the guidance comes. This is where we can tune in and take that inspired action. So first, being present in the moment, which is lesson number one. Lesson number two is really ultimately about cultivating high vibrational states. Wherever our vibrational set point is, if we're living in states of love and peace and joy and willingness and courage, we're more in an energy vibration to take action, to respond to our spirit's guidance, to be energetically available to move towards our goals. If we're hanging out in the energy vibrations of anger, fear, apathy, shame, and our vibrational set point is low, then life is heavier. And I'll say, when I was, the times preceding writing The Power of Inner Choice, I mean, I was still really consciously working on raising my energy vibration. I was much more inconsistent. I'd have high days and I'd have lower days. And I very consistently took on certain daily practices, daily rituals to consciously raise my energy vibration. And ultimately, when the vibrational set point is higher and higher, then it's much easier to sustain that consistent inspiration. So practices like being in gratitude, taking self-care, very big one, meditation, and I would say even the visualizations would fall in here, because being connected to your vision is a phenomenal daily ritual that will definitely contribute to a higher vibrational state. So first one, being present to the moment. Second, high vibration states, which relates to daily rituals. And the third is accessing spirit's guidance. Right? So we really, in order to access spirit's guidance, we really need the first two. That's why these lessons are in order. We want to be present first. Like, that's really where the moment of connection is. The higher our energy vibration, the easier it is to listen for and respond to our own intuition and guidance. Yeah, very, very often, if you're coming out of meditation, a lot of people experience a much easier time accessing their intuition for the rest of the day, or allowing creativity to flow through them, another expression of spirit's guidance. So those are three great foundational ones to just always keep coming back to. And sometimes we can get too much in our thinking mind that we forget about the intuitive and that guidance. So it's a very different resource. It's a different part of our brain that we access, left brain versus right brain. And some might even say that the area of intuition is related to a part of our brain that it also relates with a sense of awareness, or we might even say that sense of consciousness. So let's do a couple more quick reviews. How to transform less resourceful states of being fast. So there's three quick ones. One is change your physiology, and that means change your body, how you're breathing, stand up. Sometimes I've been known to do jumping jacks before leading calls. Go for a walk, go get a drink of water, anything that's going to change your physiology. It's going to help change your state quickly. Another key is to change your focus by asking a powerful question. So you might say, you know, what's great about this? Be a great way to change your focus. What's great? Or what could be great about this? Another key is language. And, of course, using more positive, high-vibration words. Very often when we're in a less resourceful state of being, we might check upstairs and see what kind of language is getting dished out to us. And that language we can shift by being encouraging to ourselves, loving, you know, words of trust. Very quick ways that we can change our state. And these three are actually three little principles that Tony Robbins teaches consistently. If you ever go to one of his State with Destiny or Unleash the Power Within weekends, you'll see him say this over and over and over again. Physiology, focus, language, three key things. So let's do a quick review on this one. What could be five keys for expanding your ability to receive?
Self-love.
Self-love, very good one.
Accepting what is.
Accepting what is, that's another really good one. I would say these are cousin, because I would put self-love and accepting what is in the category of peace. When we step into a place of self-love, we actually support ourselves coming back to a place of peace. When we accept what is, we bring ourselves back into a place of peace, because there's no resistance, right? So peace is actually one of your greatest keys for expanding your ability to receive. Kind of a cool thing. The more peace, the more abundance.
With believing in yourself, or believing that it's going to happen, fall under the same thing?
Yes. And, you know, and tie that one to a sense of deserving and worthiness. Definitely stepping into a place of worthy and deservingness, in believing that something is possible, in the sense of self-worth, that you really deserve this. We were talking a moment ago about the emotional muscle of deserving and worthiness. Just like the gym, you got to keep working the muscle, because if it's not super strong and super strengthened, then we're sending out a different vibration in the world. So good one to keep up with. I'll give another one of my five keys for expanding your ability to receive, and that is creating space energetically. This is really to think, and whether we're creating a new business or wanting to attract a relationship in our life, or maybe more fun, whatever it is that we're wanting to experience, you know, really to look, are we creating space energetically? And
is that where the tolerations came in?
Well, certainly by handling tolerations, you're going to free up energy. So really excellent point on that. And also, you know, we can look at, I mean, and Cindy, you're a good example too, because you've been transitioning from a full-time job into really building your coaching business, right? And energetically, by having a full-time job, there was very little room energetically for clients to come in.
Right?
Like energetically, it's, you know, there's only so much Cindy to go around. Sometimes we can even, and I'll tell you, when I was building my coaching practice, I had come out of a very busy environment, very, you know, working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. It was just total burnout. And so I was not wanting to give up my free time. And so I energetically had a block to filling it up with clients. And I finally, you know, caught on to what I was doing, that energetically I was resisting clients from coming into my life. I kept saying I wanted clients to come in, but energetically I was valuing the free time more than I was valuing the client coming in, and the income that would represent. So I had to really energetically recalibrate. I picked Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays as being my coaching days from 8 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night, actually 7 o'clock at night, I had allocated was going to be filled up with coaching, and I just kept focusing on the feeling of what it would be like to have all that time filled up with paying clients. And it was about 4 or 5 months that I went from the kind of like 7 to 9 coaching clients to 31 clients. And very much around this principle of creating space energetically. I've heard of lots of other coaches have applied this principle for their own practice, and has really made a big difference. So that's a big one. And I'll say two more, and then we'll get on to the last one and work to wrap up our call. The fourth key for expanding our ability to receive is giving. And giving that which we wish to receive. So it's sort of a principle that helps engage that principle of abundance, as giving and receiving as being two facets of the same energy. And if we cut off either one, we cut off that natural flow. So you might think about whatever you like to receive. If you're wanting to grow your business, you know, is there a way that you can help others grow their business by maybe being in a mastermind, or by, you know, sharing tips or being encouraging? It doesn't even have to be necessarily giving of money, although sometimes that's a way of doing it. Give me money, time. And then another key to expanding your ability to receive is, this one may be a surprise for a lot of people, and that's detachment. Detachment. And detachment is a key to receiving, because if we think about it, attachment is another form of resistance. It's resisting anything that's not exactly whatever we're attached to. So when we detach, we actually open ourselves up universally to receive from more places. We can receive in different ways. Maybe the path that we thought was the way to get there isn't really the path. But you can have your intention, you can have your desire, but the path of getting there may be different. So just learning to detach. Anytime that I notice myself in a place of attachment, it's a little practice, but it's a little practice of just stepping into the opposite. You know, what would it be like to let this go, or for it to show up a different way? Or sometimes that's happened with, actually just had it happen recently with a relatively new client that had come on board and had paid for their initial intake session. And then we got to the first call and they were feeling really overwhelmed and not wanting to proceed. And I could feel my little attachment. I'm like, oh, but I really wanted to work with this person. And, you know, now I'd sort of factored that into my finances. But in the call, you know, the first thing I did really was just drop the attachment to it working out, and just really surrendering into whatever's highest and best for this client, and just committed to serve that two-hour session the best way that I could. And, you know, really getting to an authentic place of detachment. Actually, at the end of the call, the client came around and said, you know what, I definitely need to move forward with coaching, and, you know, let's do this, and, you know, proceeded. So it's a great little principle to keep in your back pocket and just, you know, just keep noticing attachment, detachment. All right, so let's do the last little review, the 10 paths to accessing inner peace. And, of course, there are many more than these. I have developed a whole 5-day inner peace immersion retreat that includes even more principles, to name appreciation, gratitude, of course, one. Love, of course, loving yourself unconditionally, the definite path to peace. Accepting reality, very big one. We might say all is well. And I like to think now I've sort of expanded that into inner peace mantras. So to really have a little phrase that sort of instantly gives you a path back to inner peace. All is well was really my first inner peace mantra. I've since developed a few others when all is well wasn't feeling, when I wasn't feeling quite as trusting, and I needed a different set of words. But definitely trust this all is well phrase, and try it on. You know, with each of these are ideas and thoughts that I've organized, that I've seen work in my clients' lives, that have worked in my life. But the biggest thing is use them in your own life. Couple other ones we did mention earlier. So one is movement. We talked a little bit about physiology, moving your body, very fast way back to peace. Another one of my big time favorite ones is to feel your feelings. Another big one. And there's a lot of processes that are really very specific into taking whatever emotional frequency is creating the stuckness or resistance, and instead really diving deeply into it and feeling it fully as a way to transform it. And you can do this simply if you're feeling frustration or anger, even overwhelm. And great, just decide, you know what, instead of feeling it only part way, I'm going to feel it fully, because I can't shake the sense of overwhelm, let's say, for example. Feeling it fully, feel it, and you'll notice anything fully felt transforms. Another big one is being present. So we've kind of referenced that a few times in this call. You know, just simply coming back to being present, being in awareness. Another big category that we must mention is eliminating stressful thoughts. And since we can't officially eliminate all stressful thoughts, what we can do is inquiry with those thoughts. We can question the thoughts. We can check out the truth of those thoughts. And we can look at the opposite of those thoughts. And as a way of just relaxing those stressful thoughts and just allowing them to come and go as they may. And then the last two, taking responsibility. We did a call recently on taking responsibility, being in our power, really returning to our sense of power. And the last, quick path back to peace is stepping into Mother Nature. Another big one. We really fully surrender to the outdoors, whether it's mountains or being in grass and just your backyard or at the ocean. You know, it's a really great way to allow yourself to rest back into a place of inner peace. Okay, so I know our review was a bit of a fire hose experience, which may have diverted us away from the key focus of this call, which is the path of simplicity. So we review all these principles as just to help bring them more top of mind. Maybe one of these gave you a little extra reminder that was just perfect for today that you can put into action, maybe a opportunity to go back and reread or reread a section of The Power of Inner Choice. But I just want to bring it back full circle to the assignment out of today's call, which is really about picking one spiritual principle, applying it to all contexts of your life, both to yourself, towards others, towards the world, and really allowing those miracles to arise that will. So with that, let's just check in with our live listening audience and just, as always, love to check in with you about what you're taking of value from today's call.
I'm taking a value, basically the path to simplicity is basically following all the steps in your book, and whenever you follow them and you actually take action and do all the exercises, how much your life changes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen a I know even with me leaving my day job, a lot of it I credit to my personal growth over the past year with you, because I have practiced them. And I was just thinking whenever I was at work that I've outgrown this place. And so I really think that the path to simplicity is just consistent action and practicing inner peace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very well said. And I really, really acknowledge and honor you for doing the inner work and for really applying the lessons and for listening to your own sense of intuition that told you, okay, time to move on, Cindy. You're ready for the next step. So fantastic, fantastic. And I like to say the power of inner choice says 12 weeks to living a life you love. I also like to think of it as 12 paths to inner peace. If I were to rename the book, I would say 12 paths to inner peace, because each one of them ultimately leads to peace. And Stephanie, you want to chime in with a takeaway?
Sure. This is actually a great reminder that I have the resources available to me, and that it's important to really, as you said, you learn what you already know. And, you know, the last couple of weeks I found myself not in my place of peace. So to be able to really recommit to consciously doing my now practices and committing to 21 days of being in trust to reconnect back to that place of peace.
Beautiful. And what I predict for you is that you'll come back to that grounding of inner peace much more quickly than maybe you have in the past, because you've already, you know, with all the work that you have been doing over the last year yourself, that you really have been building up your energy vibration, it gets easier and easier to return and reground that place of inner peace the more we build upon that foundation. So I expect it will be an easy process, and I'm glad this could be a little reminder for you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Well, with that, I just want to thank all of you, especially that were chiming in live here today. And with that, I wish each of you much love, much trust, much peace, and much success over the coming weeks. So with that, good night, everyone. We'll see you on the next call. Bye now.
Good night.